Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Helena Bonham Carter, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Secret Heroes, a new series of rarely heard tales from World War II.
They had no idea that she was Britain's top female codebreaker.
We'll hear of daring risk-takers.
What she was offering to do was to ski in over the high Carpathian Mountains.
Of course it was dangerous, but danger was his friend.
Subscribe to History's Secret Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
Before I'd even got to work on Monday morning, I was exhausted by the news. I'd read an opinion piece at the start of the day and headed off to the tube station, muttering furiously to myself. Michael Ellis, the former Attorney General of the UK, had written an article for the Daily Mail headlined, "Awful though it is, the BBC now appears to be institutionally anti-Semitic." It's not true. Like Michael Ellis, I'm Jewish. Unlike him, I worked for the BBC proudly and happily for 5 years. While the BBC certainly has its faults, it's not anti-Semitic. But by Tuesday, I still wasn't over it. I was in a room full of people talking about the news at the launch of this year's Truth Tellers, the annual summit on investigative journalism in honour of Harry Evans, and I found I still had things to get off my chest. The Michael Ellis criticism of the BBC, I said, was unfair and irresponsible, smearing the many good people doing hard work trying to tell a fiercely contested story in difficult, often dangerous circumstances. And it also seemed self-defeating. It only plays to the prejudice of those who want to believe the conspiracy theory of Jews trying to control the media. It stokes suspicion among the many people who already think the mainstream media tilts too much in Israel's favour. But I think there's more to this than a politician taking a swipe at the BBC. I'm James Harding, I'm the editor and founder of Tortoise, and in this week's Editor's Voicemail, I want to suggest why this matters, why we should worry about importing the religious divisions and communal suspicions of the Middle East into public life of the UK, why we should worry about people putting the self-serving values of WhatsApp tribalism ahead of the difficult business of common understanding. A paragraph of throat-clearing first. When I was in charge of BBC News, I was once asked by a member of the public whether I thought that, given my ethnic heritage, I was fit to run a news organisation. Anti-Semitism is real. People have, and are, suffering from racism against Jews. Nor do I think the BBC's coverage of Israel and Gaza has been exactly spotless. Far from it. The decision not to describe the October 7th attacks as terrorism and the people who committed them as terrorists was wrong, spineless, and self-serving. I said as much at the time. The job of journalists is not to retire difficult words, but to use them judiciously. I also love Israel, and I also want to see a two-state solution. And of course, Michael Ellis is entitled to his opinion. In fact, it's often a good thing to have outsiders, although preferably not politicians, call out sensitivities and question judgments in news coverage. But it's one thing to criticise a public institution for a bad call and another for being of bad character. Michael Ellis's attack on the BBC, Britain's national broadcaster and the world's most important news organisation, is both a mistake and part of a bigger, serious problem. Even if most readers of the paper don't distinguish much between saying an organisation is racist and institutionally racist, there is a difference. One is a mindset, the other an organisational mindset, i.e. institutional racism refers to systems and structures and expectations that result in discrimination. But in the current circumstances, the effect of the phrase is the same. It discredits the BBC, delegitimising its content by throwing doubt on its culture. So here's the mistake. It's to entrench suspicion of the BBC and drive people further from it and into the WhatsApp group, from a shared space to an echo chamber. Because in the absence of a credible common source of contested information like the BBC, we retreat into our own dangerous comfort zones, where our fears, our histories, and our priorities become the only story that matters. The fears, histories, and priorities of others go unheard. And worse, the extreme version of our own stories tend to win out. The dynamic within WhatsApp groups is that the loudest voices among those like-minded people dominate. In other words, a self-selecting group is more susceptible and less challenged in their self-affirming views. What we like to think becomes what we know to be true. The reason this is part of a bigger problem is that from the Western Cape in South Africa to the state of Michigan in the US to Rochdale in the north of England, politics is being fought and won on religious lines. The religious identity of our MPs, long ignored or treated as an afterthought, is now a badge or a talking point. And the religious labelling is not only happening in national politics, it's happening in office politics too. People are being badged. Support groups are becoming lobbies. In places like the BBC, for example, we hear people talking about who's a Jewish journalist, who's a Muslim one, and listening out for bias in their reporting. We should mourn this, not encourage it. Nearly 6 months on from the attacks of October the 7th that saw the kidnap of more than 200 people, the violent rape of women, and the murder of well over 1,000 Israelis, now with more than 30,000 Palestinians killed, tens of thousands of children having lost one or both parents, and hundreds of thousands of people facing starvation, we're overwhelmed by feelings of grief, anger, shame, fear, and futility. The job of our politicians is surely to do what they can to prevent that violent suspicion and hatred from seeping across the world and into our society and shared institutions. As far as possible, we need leadership that encourages us to reach across our divides and see across the horizon, not just listen to our grievances and get into our trenches. Michael Ellis, as I said, is entitled to his opinion. No doubt, the BBC can do better. The good news is that every day, people working for it all over the world get up and try to do just that. When I walked into the BBC each morning, I was reminded of its motto, "Nation shall speak peace unto nation." It's the greatest ideal, and not an easy job.
Tortoise.
Hello, I'm Jeevan Vasagar. I'm climate editor at Tortoise and host of a new podcast called Counter Crisis from the Centre for Disaster Protection, a UK government-funded international organisation which works to change how the world plans and pays for disasters. If you follow the news, you'll know that more people than ever are in need of humanitarian assistance. War and climate change are affecting millions, but the solutions haven't really kept pace. Finance is key. We saw during the pandemic that the countries that found it easiest to borrow money were the most able to respond, and not the countries that were the most affected. Across three episodes, covering disasters, the losses caused by climate change, and our response to disease outbreaks, I'm going to try and make sense of this. Why are the current ways we respond to crises inadequate, and how can we do better? I'll be speaking to experts to rethink the recovery from crisis and find out why prearranged finance can help get aid where it's needed. You can listen now. Search for Counter Crisis wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the feed to make sure you don't miss an episode.
Hello, it's Tomini from Tortoise. This podcast is sponsored by EY. The risks posed by AI range from bias in decision-making to misinformation and the misuse of personal information, all at an unprecedented scale. Nearly a quarter of UK businesses understand that the regulatory landscape is changing fast, and nearly half are tracking new regulatory guidance to be responsive to emerging best practice. The EY Responsible AI Service helps organisations innovate safely, providing confidence that AI and generative AI technologies are developed and managed ethically, transparently, and sustainably, and that potential regulatory and reputational risks are identified and mitigated. Discover how you can create a better working world with AI by going to ey.ai.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.